Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. The Bible's on way, 2 Timothy 2:15. And what another day of grace that we have. We want to thank Brother Tom, Brother Leon for stepping in last week and holding the fort down, if you will. So we are excited about that. We are thankful to those who are tuning in, whether it's through our Boxcast app, through our YouTube channel, or our website. We're thankful for the saints that are here this morning. Let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. We thank you for the Word of God, and that we have it in our possession in the King James Bible. And we thank you for having the place that we have to meet here. We thank you for the blessings that we have through Grace School of Bible, and we thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus, that came to this earth and died, was buried, and rose again for our sins. In his name we pray. Amen. We're in lesson 44, and if you will, be turning to 1 John. And as we're going through, that we're doing fundamentals of dispensationalism, so we're working our way through the Bible. And I had a young man one not so long ago says, "Wow, you're teaching through the whole Bible?" So we're just skimming over some tops of just showing you some dispensational things in the Bible. And it's a wonderful book to have, isn't it, guys?
Mm-hmm.
One thing that many of you do, not only do you study the Bible, you also give attendance to reading. And when you give attendance to reading, that makes the Bible open up even more. You know, studying it is one thing, because you go to a verse like, "Wow, I'll find another verse first." But when you just read it, just read it, it makes a difference. But we're in lesson 44. Go to 1 John chapter 1. And we left off with Peter in the last lesson. And the book has to do with the last days of prophecy in 2 Peter and the program out there. And middle wall, what do we find out about Hebrews? We're over here in this section of the Bible in ages to come. You have but now, Romans through Philemon, and you have time past, Genesis through Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and part of Acts. So we've done been through the but now, okay? Then we go to ages to come, and what do we find out about, once again, about the book of Hebrews? Who's it written to?
Hebrews.
Hebrews. Who wrote the book of Hebrews?
Unknown.
Okay. God, there you go. Again, God, you know, people said Paul wrote it. People will disagree with you. Everything, every book that Paul wrote, every epistle, it says Paul, grace and peace. And then Hebrews says God. Then you come after Hebrews. What's after Hebrews?
First Peter.
Okay, Peter. Hebrew, Peter, James, John. Or is it James? Y'all awake this morning? What's after the book of Hebrews?
James.
James, very good. James, what's the first verse in James says? James, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. So who's he talking to there?
12 tribes scattered abroad.
Very good. So that's over here in this time period. Then after James is what?
First Peter.
Peter's also scattered, talking to the scattered. So Peter is apostle of the?
Circumcision.
Very good. We talked about that earlier this morning. You have the gospel of circumcision, the gospel of the uncircumcision. Peter was in charge. Well, actually, it was James was in charge of the church. But Peter gets all the credit. He's got the keys. Are you waiting when you get to heaven for Peter to open up the pearly gates? No. You know, he has keys, and they talk all that stuff. That's where the Pope gets all that. And then you have the uncircumcision. So Peter is talking about the circumcision. And what do we know at this point? What do you think about that wall or petition?
It's
is back up.
Again.
Yeah, it's back up. So keep that in mind. Now we're in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. John 1:1. 1st John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness as unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, in those verses, what we saw, what does it say? We have saw and heard and what? Handled. That is to say, when we were with the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was with us on this earth, he taught us and we learned from him is what we are preaching to you. So John and them saying, hey, we've heard him, we handled him, we was with him. Now, if you're going to use 1 John and 2 John and 3 John as your books, as your writings, when was you there? You know what I mean? So Paul is our apostle. And he said 1 John 4:14. 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We have seen him, we handled him, and with our hands the things he taught us, declared unto you. Did Jesus in his earthly ministry teach that the middle wall partition was up?
Yes.
Yes. Mm. When Jesus Christ was on this earth, and this is when we look at the this is a timeline. It's also known as a chart. And we get ridiculed all the time. You chart people. Now this is a timeline of your Bible. And this line up here represents Israel. This line down here represents Gentiles, the nations. That's who we are, the nations. When Jesus Christ was on this earth, did he teach that there's a middle wall partition between Jew and Gentile?
Yeah, Matthew 15, where he's with the woman. He said he was only sent to the
lost sheep of the house of Israel.
And the woman that, and her.
Was he born circumcised or uncircumcised?
Circumcision.
Yeah. This line up here is circumcision. This down here is uncircumcision. Yeah. So there's a wall of partition between Jew and Gentile, and it had started back here. Okay, that's why you have this right here, and this is a middle wall that a Gentile could not cross over that wall. It meant death. Now, you become a proselyte, and if you become a proselyte, you become circumcised and you become a Jew. That's the religion. But you could never one time, if you was a Gentile today, be born a Hebrew.
Right? They couldn't go into the court of the Gentiles unless they were a proselyte.
And then in the court of Gentiles, they outside the court, outside the temple, they had their own court. So that's going to take place over there when they rebuild this. Now, John 3. Is it John 3? Verse 5. John 3. Third epistle, John. Yeah. Third John, verse 5. Third John, verse 5.
Oh, third John.
Third John, verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forth on their journey after a godly sort, they shall do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the what?
Okay.
If there was no wall up like they are today, would they take of the Gentiles?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're part of the Gentile.
The
prostate group. So do you see how he makes a distinction between the brethren in the church and the Gentiles on the other side of the wall? You see that? Gentiles, we're over here. The circumcision's in the church. There's a church there. And who else he say? The Gentiles on the other side of, they're not going to take part of that Gentile ministry. Listen, they have dietary laws. They have, you know, it wasn't under the law, they couldn't touch a Gentile, that type of thing. You had to be cleansed. You had to go through the system and stuff. But compare 1 John, let's go to 1 John 3, 7 through 9, and get Acts chapter 10 and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25, Acts chapter 10. And 1 John 3. Got 1 John 3?
Yep.
1 John 3, verse 7. Little children, let no more man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteousness, even as he is righteousness. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifest, for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is what? Born of God. Now hold that thought for a second and go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. But the righteousness. Verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. Says, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he commanded us. So they're going to work righteousness, in other words. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of the truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted, what? With him. Now, you know what Romans 4 says, don't you? And Titus 3. Romans 4. Verse 4 and 5 says, now to him that worketh is a reward of death. Well, excuse me, go back to 3. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what saith the scriptures? Abraham believeth God and was counted him unto him for righteousness. Now, how did he retain that righteousness, guys?
Faith.
Believed.
He believed. Did he work? Did he work for that righteousness?
Yeah.
He did?
No. Just believed.
Did Abraham work for righteousness?
No.
Was Abraham saved in uncircumcision or circumcision? Did he believe in uncircumcision or believe in circumcision?
Before. Uncircumcision.
That's why when Paul talks about Abraham, he's the father of faith. That's what everybody in the world can admit to that. But did where we come in at, he believed in uncircumcision. So he believed God, okay, and it was counted for him as what? Righteousness. Now it says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. So even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without what?
Work.
Guys, I believe what the Bible says. I believe that they believed and it was counted for righteousness. They didn't have to do works, but they did. Okay, I know we draw a line, all works. Titus chapter 3. Verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now we understand through Paul's writings that you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing else. All you got to do is believe. But what did you just read about Abraham and David? I'll leave it there for a second. Go back to chapter 1 John chapter 1, verse chapter 3. We talked about this a little bit. He says we're going back to verse 7, okay, and 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose of the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he was what? Born of God. Now what do you know about born again?
You must be born again.
Go to 1 John chapter 3. John chapter 3. If you can get this down a little bit, it might help some things. Now, John, we're just comparing a little bit here. John 3. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the who?
Jews.
So, what do you know about Pharisees?
They're Jewish.
Okay, that's one thing. But what also you know about Pharisees?
Lawkeepers.
The lawkeepers. The rulers of the Jews. What else do you know about the Pharisees when John the Baptist showed up on the scene?
Called them a bunch of snakes.
He called them vipers, yeah. Who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come.
Yeah.
What else do you know about the Pharisees?
They didn't like John.
They bought some believers.
Okay. On the onslaught, 400 years from Malachi to Matthew, God did not speak audibly. They had the word. Now, that should tell us something right there just for a second. Is God speaking audibly today?
Yeah, through his word.
Just through his word. When people says God told me this, you better like. And by the way, those blank pages in the back of your Bible is not for new revelations from God. Okay? That's for note taking, okay? But what I'm getting at is, God is not speaking audibly today, and that's going to upset a lot of people. He's not speaking audibly, but the Word of God is illuminated off the pages and resonates in their soul. This is how God speaks today. That's why when you share the Word of God and speak the Bible, what saith the Scriptures is speaking God's Word. So if he did not speak for 400 years, if 400 years of silence, how did they know about God? They had the Word of God. So when John the Baptist shows up, just like right on time, they called him who?
Elijah.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, Elijah's here. That means the Messiah's coming. So I believe people believe that. But what did it say in Luke? You don't have to turn there, but Luke chapter 7, verse 28, those people, John the Baptist outside of Jerusalem. He was not bellying up with the religious crowd down there at drinking Baptist beer, which is coffee, by the way. And, you know, down there and all that stuff. And they're not, he's not belly up down there. He's outside of Jerusalem in Jordan River, the same place where Joshua crossed, the same place where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back across. And he's out there, he's saying, he called out, he said, all Jerusalem and Judea heard him and was baptized of him except, and who? The lawyers. Okay? That should tell you something about lawyers, but I'm just, you know, but they refused, what I'm getting at, they refused the baptism of John. You think Nick did that? Yes, I do.
Who?
Nicodemus, you're in the first, you're in John chapter 3, right? Everybody's with John.
So who opened his eyes?
We're getting ready to find out. Then same came to Jesus by night. Now, he wouldn't come during the day. Because who was with him during the day?
Buddies.
Yeah, there you go. So he comes around at night like, man, this guy's got to be the guy. And he said unto him, what do you call him?
Rabbi.
You know what a rabbi is?
Teacher.
A teacher. You know what a rabbi looks like?
Sure.
They put a bowl on his head. They cut a bowl around the bowl head. And then they put a mar right here. Because there's only one perfect priest. That's Jesus Christ. So they had to have a mark, because like I said, they're going, and they also had a beard, square beard. If not, no pointed beard like you see Jesus' pictures out there. Wouldn't they have sandy hair and blue eyes? Okay? This is, you look at a real rabbi today, he'll show you what he looks like. But Nicodemus called him what? Teacher. Yeah, rabbi. And we, that verse word, we, who's that we? The Pharisees. Know that thou art a teacher from God, and no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So they knew the pride.
That's a good point.
You know, The pride is lifting up, man. Listen, I deal with people, you do too. And when you talk to them about the Word of God and you talk to them about this, you watch their pride start. It won't go down. Some of it goes up and they start building that wall and you look at them and I know exactly where they're at. I've been there. You've been there.
Yeah.
So nothing should surprise you about how you're dealing with people, okay? But look, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, who's he talking to? Thee. Him. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
T stops him. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, born again in your Bible three times. It's used here in 1 Peter. Imagine that. Paul never teaches born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Now, you know you can't. Now, this is a teacher, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. What did Jesus say? Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 7:28, they're being baptized. Repent, be baptized, remission of sin. John the Baptist out there repenting, born of water. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's John 1, 11, verses 11 through 13, if you want to read about that. Then Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, now who's he talking to?
Nick.
Ye must be born again. Now, who's he talking to there?
It's talking to West Virginia, y'all.
The nation.
Not West Virginia. I say y'all all the time, but what you say?
The nation.
The nation Israel. Very good.
Y'all.
If you write these references down or keep them in your mind, Ezekiel chapter 36, Ezekiel chapter 11, Isaiah 66, Isaiah 60, Psalms 22. You go back and look at those verses, and God himself, Ezekiel, takes the nation Israel. We got some time right quick. Go to Ezekiel chapter 36. This stuff just don't pop up out of the norm. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to use scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. And Ezekiel 11.
Ezekiel 36 or what?
And love.
Ezekiel 36.
Oh.
Ezekiel 36, verse 23. Now Ezekiel was to prophesy, right, to the Israel, right? Verse 23 says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." Now, has that taken place yet? No. He's prophesying that it's going to happen. But who's the I will there? Who's the I will?
Jesus.
God.
Okay. He's saying, yeah. I. It's not the United Nations. It's not the United States in 1948. But we'll see what else it says. "For I will take you among the heathen and gather you." Who's the you? Stay with me now. Who's the you?
Nation.
"And I will take you from among the heathen." Who's the heathen?
Gentile.
The nations. "And gather you." Who's the you?
The Jews.
Israel.
Yeah.
Out of our countries, and will bring you into your own land. Now, who's the I will there? Has God taken Israel amongst the heathen and put them in their own land?
They say they have when they left.
He didn't.
He didn't. Yeah.
Hey, you can pull up an article in 1948. They convinced Harry Truman that they got. You know who owned Palestine at that time?
It was British.
Yeah.
And they convinced Harry Truman, "This is prophecy. You're part of prophecy." But the preachers went over and said that to him. "Oh, we got to make this happen." Is all the Jews in the land today?
No.
No. "Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, Israel, and ye shall be clean from all of your filthiness and all of your idols, and I will cleanse you." Has that happened yet?
No.
"And new heart, and I'll give you, Israel. And new spirit will I put into you, and I will take it away. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statute, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." Hey, if he's going to cause them, are they going to do them? They're going to be, and I'm not going to say they're going to walk around like robots, but they're going to have the Spirit of God in them, and they're not going to sin. They're born again, and they're not going to sin. Keep that in mind. "And I will save you," "and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. And I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you." Has that happened yet for the nation of Israel?
No.
So that's a prophecy, prophesied event from way back over here that's going to happen over there. Now, what did he say about the sprinkling? He sprinkles clean water on them. Mm-hmm. They're being baptized. And he causes them to walk in the statue. They get the Spirit inside of them, and they're going to be sealed and sanctified. Now go back to John chapter 3. And get 1 John. We're in 1 John, right? 1 John chapter 3. I lost my place there. Sorry.
1 John chapter 3.
You're in 1 John and get John chapter 3. Where we're talking about born again Nicodemus. John chapter 3. So when he says about that which is born of the flesh is born of the flesh, we're in John chapter 3, verse 6. And that which is born of God is as born of spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And that's why what showed you in Ezekiel about being born again. Marvel not. Now who's Nicodemus again?
Pharisee.
Now what a Pharisee do? Are they supposed to know their Bible?
They do the law.
And do they not? I mean, everything, every jot and tittle, they should know since they was.
They wrote a whole bunch of themselves.
Yeah.
But look, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. They're like, I hear it, but I don't know where it's at. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Listen, guys, I still marvel at the fact who Nicodemus is. There's rulers out there in churches. There's Pharisees out there in churches. There's the leaders in churches have no idea what God's doing today. They're Nicodemus's. Verse 6. Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Oh, if that didn't cut, it's almost like Stephen saying, you uncircumcised, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised. He just rebuked Nicodemus. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yeah, you call yourself a preacher.
Yeah, you call yourself a master not knoweth these things? What things was he supposed to know, by the way? Ezekiel 36 we just read. Verse 24 and 28. Isaiah 68. Everything in this book has been prophesied to those Pharisees supposed to know to T. When this man showed up, John the Baptist showed up, Jesus Christ showed up, we acknowledge him. We accept him. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. When Jesus went to Peter and asked Peter, who do they say I am? Jeremiah. Isaiah, that type of thing. But then the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter, but who do you say that I am? What did Peter say?
The
Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood didn't show you these things. So Peter got a revelation, knowledge that he was Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's who they was looking for, the Messiah, the deliverer. Who else was a deliverer?
Moses.
Yeah. And they believed that man and followed that man all through this time period. He took them out of bondage. Lord Jesus Christ is going to take them out of bondage. So, Nicodemus, art thou a master and knoweth not these things? That just, all these people go to these cemeteries, schools. Right? They're cemeteries.
Cemetery schools.
Yeah. They cannot tell you the simplicity of Paul's gospel in the dispensation of grace. They will argue with you. There's only one gospel. But look what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. These people say they're saved today, and trust in all kinds of stuff, and they cannot see this witness. So my thought is, you better give the gospel. People's dying out there and going straight to hell in religion. And that's what these Pharisees was doing. But look, Nicodemus, if I told you earthly things, verse 12, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So, if they say they're born again, what does 1 John say? Go back to 1 John. Born again, you cannot what?
Sin.
So when you ask these people today, say, hey, they say, huh? You say, I'm born again. Do you sin? Well, yeah.
It says there you can.
You can't sin. 1 John, whosoever is born of God, do not commit a sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So, what does it say if you do commit? He that committeth sin is of the devil. That's serious business over here, guys. You know what I'm talking about? When they sin over there, 1 John saying, hey, this, it's going to be law. And they're not going to be able to commit sin. They're born again. Israel's not. Now everybody else around there is going to try to walk the straight and narrow. During that 1,000-year reign right here, they got to go to a church every Sunday, or excuse me, every Sabbath. And you're dragging little Joe with you, little Eddie, to church every Sunday, and he's kicking and dragging. And I don't want to go. And then he walks by that pit and see the Satan and his down in there, and they straighten up. You know, walk straight and narrow. Walk straight and narrow like this. And then all of a sudden, 1,000 years ended. Satan's loose for a season. And he what? What does he do? When Satan's loose for a season, he convinces the nations. Oh, see, I'm alive. I survived. We're following you. He don't deceive the nation. They're born again. They're saved, sealed, sanctified. He deceives all these Gentile nations out there that did it because they didn't want to throw in a pit, because this man, Lord Jesus Christ, sitting on his throne, is ruling with a rod of iron, and it's guilty in the pit. Guilty. He has to rule with a rod of iron. So when you think about that born again, go back to, we'll pick up Jude next time, but what I want to share with you, that it's very, very important if people take these books. All the Bible is for us, not all the Bible is to you. So if you're taking these books and trying to apply it to your life today, we gave an illustration about me going to Walt's mailbox, open up his mailbox, taking his mail out, open it up, ooh, check. Put it in my pocket and run. Okay? What did I just do? Not only theft, but it's called larceny. I just committed larceny. When I take these books over here in ages to come, Hebrews through Revelation, take it and try to apply it to my life and my spirit, I just committed spiritual larceny. And my spirit will not work off the basis of ignorance. And I can force it, just like these books right here, Genesis to Malachi, they're for my learning. I can learn from what Israel did and not do that. But when you take those books and you put it in your life and try to apply it, you're going to commit larceny. And you have to admit, some of you have been down that road, that it don't work. You just feel guilty. It's a performance, and you're just like, man, I just can't do this no more. They got to be.
That Bill over there, Louisville, he calls them the Hebrew epistles. Hebrew epistles.
Yeah, they are. They are. They are exactly Hebrew epistles.
Yeah.
These are Pauline epistles.
Right.
This is, and both of them's church epistles.
Yeah.
So you better learn which epistle they are. Yeah. So when you look at the Bible, times past, but now, and ages to come, we today in the dispensation of grace, these are our books, and we can thank God that the decoration that he's declaring today through the world, through the universe, if you want to use the word universe, what he's doing, he's declaring grace and peace. We should be thankful every day that we wake up another day of grace, that it ain't war and judgment. Over here, it's going to be war and judgment and wrath. It's not going to be pleasant. But grace and peace, God is with peace. He's not imputing trespasses and sins against us. And if we believe that Christ died for our sins and buried and rose again, he takes us, he baptizes us, he seals us, he sanctifies us, and we're sealed forever until the day of redemption. Now, that's good news. And you don't have to worry about committing sin of the devil, that type of thing. Now, do you sin? We all sin. But I'm not going to stay up here and say, I was born again. You read what you said. You read what God said. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for tuning in, and we're excited that you had joined us for this lesson. Come back next week. Come and visit us. Right, guys? We'd love to see everybody.
Got a few seats.
Yeah, we got a few seats. We won't hang you on a nail yet. All right. It doesn't make you stand up. But you are welcome to come at any time. Until next week.